It is right to celebrate today because the Bible tells us that there's more joy in heaven when one righteous person turns to the Lord than over 99 who don't. And today we're having baptism. There are 8 people who are returning to the Lord, or turning to the Lord. And so it's right to celebrate. For some of us, that's a little unusual in a worship service. And yet, the joy of the Father gets expressed through the people, right? And Psalms tell us there's an occasion for loud shouts and clanging gongs and cymbals and all of those sorts of things. There is an appropriate time for joyful and exuberant worship. And so today, as we think about baptism, we are looking at lives that have been changed. Lives who have come to faith in Jesus and been transformed. And so there are 8 people today who come for baptism. But just a quick reminder, what is baptism? Why do we do this? It's a rather interesting tradition. And it starts with Jesus, because what we discover is that baptism is a command. Christ commanded his disciples to follow him in baptism, right? He said, all authority, at the very end of Matthew, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I command. Baptism is one of those things that we find is among the first commandments of Jesus for those who are his followers. And what does it mean? Who should be baptized? Where we see baptism begin for the first time in Scripture is with John the Baptist. And what happened when John the Baptist invited people to come for baptism was we are told they were confessing their sins. So the proper candidates for baptism begins with those who know that they're sinners in need of forgiveness. So baptism is a confession of sin. It is also a sign of cleansing from sin, right? We know we need to be cleaned. And the water itself does not effect that cleansing, but it is a symbolic and an outward display of the kind of cleansing and forgiveness that comes through faith in Jesus. So again, who should be baptized? Those who know they need to be cleansed from their sins. So a confession, it is a sign of cleansing. And Peter even says this, 1 Peter 3:20, he says, baptism, like being saved through the ark, like Noah and his family were, baptism represents an appeal to God for a good conscience or a clean conscience. So who should be baptized? People who know they don't have a clean conscience and need to have their conscience cleansed through faith in Jesus. Why? Because Jesus laid down his life in order to grant forgiveness of sins. We can't atone for our sins properly ourselves. We cannot, unless we spend eternity in hell separated from the Lord. And yet, through Christ and our submission to his will, we can receive forgiveness. And so it is a command. It is a confession. We also see that it marks a kind of commencement, a beginning of a new relationship with Jesus. What we see when we look at the book of Acts, where we see the church putting into practice the commands of Jesus again and again and again, what we discover is people hear the gospel, they hear that forgiveness of sins is possible, all sin, which is absolutely incredible to think, all of your mess, all of the things that keep you from God, Jesus took care of so that you're no longer separated from him. And so reunion with Lord, being brought back into a living relationship or brought into a living relationship with the Lord. I said brought back because I'm thinking of humanity. I mean, humanity was cut off from a relationship with God by sin. In Christ, we're brought back into that relationship through faith in him. And so we see this beginning of a new relationship. And when people understand the gospel, embrace it, know the command of Christ, they follow in baptism. In Acts, you see again and again, people heard the gospel, they believed it, they repented of their sins, and then they're baptized. And then lastly, Paul tells us that baptism is an expression of the connection with Christ. So there's a sense of communion that comes. And how do we become children of God? It is through faith in Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit. That is the spiritual connection with God the Father. It is receiving His Spirit that we're adopted into His with this communion that we get to enjoy with Him that we didn't when we didn't have the Holy Spirit. So it's the Spirit of God that affects this communion. So that's what baptism is, and that's what it symbolizes, what it points to. It's a proclamation of faith in the Lord and what Jesus has done, and it is also a testimony of I'm no longer trusting in myself. I'm trusting in the actions of Jesus, not my own actions. So that's a little bit about what baptism is. We do this because Jesus commanded it. The short and long and short of it is we practice baptism because Jesus commanded it. And so there are 8 people who are going to come this morning. We're going to offer them a little chance to share their testimony in their own words of why they're doing what they're doing. And we're going to start with Brianna McArdle, and I'll invite Brianna to come wherever she is. Come on up. Brianna is a recent graduate from Wentworth Institute of Technology with a degree in applied sciences. She's currently serving as a medical assistant in surgical dermatology and hopes to be a micrographic skin cancer surgeon one day. And she has been attending Hope for about 8 months. Brianna?
So my name is Brianna. I grew up never attending church, but I considered myself Catholic. I was christened as an infant, but any kind of faith was inhibited. As I grew, I encountered some health issues that put some limitations on my daily life. But in my first semester of college, I did meet a girl who asked me if I knew Jesus. I was brought back to my childhood and simply replied, "Well, I'm Catholic, if that's what you mean." I told her that I occasionally prayed, but I never had really gone to church. She had asked if I had read the Bible, and it occurred to me that I had never once read even a verse of God's word. She explained that I speak to Him in prayer, but this is God speaking to me through His word. And at that point, my mind was blown. I mean, the creator of the entire universe wants to speak to me. So the very next morning, I opened my Bible on my phone, and I read the entire book of 1 John, although it's really short. I later faced the advancement of my illness, which was autonomic neuropathy, in which my involuntary nervous system was not signaling my heart to pump enough blood to my brain for me to stay conscious in an upright position. It also affected my ability to eat as my stomach was partially paralyzed. This all eventually led to me returning to college in a wheelchair when classes resumed in person after the pandemic. Thankfully, my faith had grown drastically since then, and I was reading my Bible daily, so much so that now I've read through the entire Bible twice, and I'm now on my third time. But one day, I was just in so much pain. And I laid on the floor and I cried out to God and I said, "Father, I know that this suffering is for a purpose to build my character, as you've told me in Romans 5:3. But my character has already been built. I trust your perfect timing, but I just don't understand why this has been going on for so long." So I decided to go outside my dorm with my wheelchair, and all I could see through the doors were really dark storm clouds. And I anticipated rain, but I still continued. I went around the side of the building, and as soon as I turned the corner, I saw the brightest rainbow I have ever seen. I remembered that this is God's promise to Noah to end the suffering, and I was in shock. I didn't even ask God for a sign, and yet He wrote it across the entire sky, directly above my dorm. And at that moment, I knew that Jesus was telling me, "You know, right now, all you're seeing is the storm, but when you turn the corner with me, this is what I have waiting for you on the other side. And on your walk with me, you don't need to physically walk because I will carry you. I will carry you through the storm. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And here I am today, physically standing before you, when even a few years ago, I couldn't even lift my head without losing consciousness. I am now a physical representation of God's promise in Isaiah 40:31. Those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar upon wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." I'm so grateful that he has brought me through this suffering. Through this entire journey, I realized this doubt and this bitterness that I was harboring, but also how I have a Savior who forgives me for never trusting in him before this. Now I rely and depend on him daily. He literally holds me up as I walk with him. And not only am I walking into this baptism today, but since receiving God's strength, I was even able to hike up a mountain this past summer, something I never could have even imagined doing just a few years ago. I am so ready to embrace this new life that he's so graciously given me, and I fully proclaim my faith in him today. When he promises in Ephesians 3:20 that he is able to do more than we could ever ask or imagine, he really means it. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brianna. Jalen Doblado will come next, and she is a student at Mass College of Pharmacy and Health Sciences. She's studying working towards the nursing program, and she is a medical assistant at a dermatology office and has been attending Hope for about 6 months. Jalen?
Hi, everyone. I just want to share that the reason why I found Hope and I'm getting baptized today is because of Brianna. And we both declared we wanted to make this action of getting baptized today. So, Brianna, thank you so much. From an early age, I have a small memory of seeing kids going into this church dressed in white. And I remember asking my grandma, who I grew up with most of my life, being like, hey, like, I want to get baptized. And she was like, no, like, not right now. It's not the right timing. And I felt very sad. And I was like, there's this thing I want to get baptized, but I didn't understand because I was so little. And then moving forward, like when I was 8, I got baptized to a Catholic church. And unfortunately, I don't remember much of it. I remember doing my first communion, and it didn't mean much to me. But still, I felt very empty inside. And as I grew older until my teenage years and my early adult years, I felt this emptiness, and I just couldn't fit in. And I just knew there was something else for me, but I just didn't know what. I always felt like this light and like this strength in me, but I didn't know where it came from. And as the years went by, I kept trying to fit in with my friends. I kept trying to fit in any place I could, and I couldn't. Until I was 22, I felt in a very dark path, and I didn't know what to do. And the only thing I had left, the only person I had left was God. And I remember one day I just went on my knees. I cried. I grabbed a pillow. I screamed into that pillow, and I was just at my worst. Slowly, after that night, God just started working in my heart. The days went by, the months went by, years passed by. I got to know God. I got to understand why people were so happy with God and this joy they felt around them. And sometimes I would feel a little jealous. I'm like, I want to feel what they're feeling. And throughout the time, God just worked in me, and I waited for the perfect moment for him to tell me when to get baptized. And he told me that he spoke it to my heart, and I just waited and waited. About a year ago, I was supposed to get baptized, and it didn't happen. But one of my friends told me at the right place, at the right timing, with the right people, I'll get baptized. And that's why I'm so thankful that one day I sat next to Brianna, and we just started sharing that we were both Christian. And today at 25, I'm giving my life to God and Jesus, my Lord and Savior, because that's what makes me happy. I found myself, and I just want to create a new seed in the world, not just for myself, but my families to come. And I just want to break all the chains that the enemy has on me, and only God could do that, not myself. So today I'm just giving my life to Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you, Jalen. Garrig Zimmerman will come. Garrig is in his senior year at Gordon College. He is doing a double major in business administration and finance, and hopes to work in that financial industry one day. Garrig has been attending Hope Church for about 2 years or so. So, Garrig.
Hi. My name is Garrig Zimmerman, and I'm here to proclaim that I am a sinner in desperate need of Jesus to save me. Growing up, I was raised in the church, My parents took me to church since I was a baby, and I was baptized when I was 6 months old. We had a great church with a good youth group that I was a part of, but being so young, I never truly understood what having a personal relationship with the Lord meant. It was always that my parents believed in God, so I do as well. When we moved from Houston to Austin going into my seventh grade year, getting acclimated in my new life was very challenging for me. I was at a new school, struggling to find a friend group, and we struggled to find a good church for years. I started to stray away from my faith and listen less and less to the lessons that were being taught on Sundays, and I started to feel really alone and empty inside. I felt as though there was a void inside my heart, and I had no idea why it was there or what I was supposed to fill it with. I really didn't like feeling that way, so for the next 5 years, they were spent trying to figure out what this was and how to fill it. I tried filling this void with pornography, sex, relationships, and friendships, seeking approval and validation from these to feel less lonely. However, the more I tried to fill myself with the things of the world, the bigger and wider the void in my heart grew. Using these as a crutch made me feel a little less empty inside, but it was never enough, and I always longed for something more. I knew what I was doing was wrong, especially after hearing countless talks about repentance in church, but how can I come to God in the state that I am? I'm real messed up, I thought to myself. So I continued to hide from God, and I figured doing what I'm doing now but more will solve my problem. I began to develop a nasty image of myself in my head and could hardly stand to look at myself in the mirror, knowing the things that I was doing. This led to developing an unhealthy relationship with alcohol at the age of 15 as a means to escape from my thoughts of self-hatred and really just utter disgust for myself. And it felt freeing to drown out my emotions and escape from reality, but only for a brief period of time. The moment I woke up the next morning, I felt worse about myself, and the cycle continued on for years until I reached my rock bottom. After a night out of drinking, summer after my junior year, my whole world crashed right in front of me. It seemed like everyone who I was close to at the time was distant. I felt used, abandoned, and the loneliest I'd ever felt in my life. My head was spinning, my thoughts didn't make sense, I couldn't sleep for days, feeling overwhelmed with anxiety, and I had no clue what to do. I just wanted to be done with life. With nothing else to do and nowhere else to go, I dropped to my knees and I prayed for the first time in years. I gave God all the times that I had watched porn, all the times that I had had sex, all the times that I had drank to drown my feelings away, and all the times I had been unfaithful to him, running away when I knew deep down I should have ran to him. And the sense of peace that came over my body, I'll never forget. I truly felt God's presence in my midst, and I felt whole inside for the first time ever. I felt a hand on my shoulder, and the supernatural peace came over my entire body, calming the storm in my mind. It was incredible, and I knew that my life couldn't be the same going forward. Ever since I was a kid, my mom prayed the verse Jeremiah 29:11 over me, which says, "For I know the plans I have, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." It came to have a new meaning to me after this and became a very comforting verse to me, knowing that even in the lowest of lows, God has a plan for me, and it's a plan to prosper. It's a plan for my good. Reflecting on all of my lowest times and seeing how God has used them for the better, allowing me to grow and mature through them, is a testimony to how great our God is and how true this verse is. This past March, Pastor Todd had mentioned a baptism class that they were having and back-to-back sermons, and I felt a tug on my heart to go. Learning about how baptism is portrayed in the Bible and how after accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we're called to be baptized as an outward sign of our faith, affirmed that this was the next step in my walk with God, which is why I'm here today, to proclaim that I believe in Jesus, that Jesus died on the cross for us, and I want to devote my life to following and honoring him. I want to leave y'all with a lesson that I learned along my journey before I go. Throughout that 5 years of wandering, I felt the urge to run back to the Lord, but I always had that devil on my shoulder saying, "Why would God take you back? Look at all that you've done. He would never accept you. You're too messed up." And I believed it for quite some time, thinking I needed to fix myself before coming to God. True healing and life change for me happened when I surrendered to God and gave it to him, because no matter how hard I tried, I could never fix myself. Only God could. One of the biggest lies that the devil can tell you is that you're too far gone and that you aren't worthy of the amazing grace that the Lord has for us. So if you find yourself in that place, don't be afraid. Run to him. He's waiting for you with his arms wide open, ready to embrace you and welcome you back home. Thank you.
Amen. Thank the Lord that he receives unworthy people and shows his love to us, right? Amen. Thank you, Garrick. Yvonne Phillip will come now. Yvonne is a student at UMass Lowell, majoring in electrical engineering. He enjoys being active, trying new things, and hopes to work in the medical devices industry. There's a bunch of people in that industry here, Yvonne, so hang around here for a little while. You might find a job. He's been attending Hope for about 6 months. Come.
Hi, guys. I'm Yvonne. I'm not great at public speaking, so please bear with me. But yeah, here we go. So I grew up in a household that was Christian, but no one there was strong in their faith. We would go to church and pray, but only sometimes and never consistently. Because of this, since I was young, I only knew of the Lord and never actually knew the Lord. This made much of my early childhood uncomfortable and confusing for me, because no matter how good or bad things were in my life, I always felt like something was missing. I began actively seeking the Lord April of 2023 after the passing of my grandfather. My grandfather was a Christian man, strong in his faith, and he loved talking to me about two things, how much he loved traveling and how much he loved Lord Jesus Christ. After his passing, I was confused and felt emptier than ever. Soon after, the Lord opened my eyes to realizing that up until that point in my life, I always called myself a Christian, but I did not know who Jesus Christ was at all. From there, almost every day of the summer, I attempted to read my Bible as well as pray every day to not only learn of who my Lord and Savior was, but also to begin my relationship with him. This was difficult to do because I had no guidance, as none of my family or friends around me practiced their faith enough to be in a position to guide me. So all I could do was pray to the Lord, asking for guidance and patience with me every day. Matthew 7, verse 7 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will be found. Knock and the door will be found, and the door will be opened to you." This verse means a lot to me because after months of praying to the Lord and asking for guidance, I then began noticing him trying to guide me and reach me through my friends. Two of my good friends who did not practice their faith while I knew them years before were now completely devoted to Jesus Christ and looked so refreshed and happy. Just from seeing their transformation and how happy they were with the Lord in their life, I understood that true happiness was through Jesus Christ. From there, they would give me their testimonies and tell me how to grow my relationship with Christ. So from that point on, I began trying to form and strengthen my relationship with Christ properly. And all the confusion and emptiness I had inside of me previously was replaced with love, patience, and gratitude. Today, I choose to be baptized as a public declaration to devote my life to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Thank you.
Yvonne, I didn't notice any problem with public speaking, so. Berkti Gebrewet is going to share, and I'm sure I messed up your name, but Berkti is a student at Bridgewater State University. She is majoring in art and secondary education. She stayed with the Olsons over the summer, and so she got to know us here at Hope, and she's been attending for a few months. Berkti?
Sorry, I'm a little bit nervous. but I'm originally from Ethiopia. Came here 6 years ago. Ever since I can remember, I've called myself a Christian, but I've never had a relationship with Jesus. Until last December, and I lost the person that I love. I went through some hardships. I went through darkness, emptiness, everything that you could ever imagine or think of. I tried everything to just to make me feel numb, to make me feel not think of anything. But everything just made me worse and worse. Nothing made me feel better. So one day I decided to listen to the Bible. And of course I struggled, but I had the help of the Holy Spirit. So I kept reading the Bible and kept reading. One day it was about 4 a.m. I was laying in my bed and I couldn't fall asleep. I was struggling, couldn't fall asleep, just up all night, all day. So I start praying Psalms 51, verse 10 to 12. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and righteous spirit within me. Do not cast me away your presence, and do not take away your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of the salvation and sustain in me a willing spirit." Then the next morning, I woke up before my class around 9:30 in the morning, April 10th, I opened my Bible and I looked at the daily verse, and there it was. My prayer was answered. Ezekiel 36:26, and I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. After that day, I felt seen. I felt heard. God answered my prayer. I felt God's presence. And that day, I realized that Jesus is the light, the truth, the way, and the truth. I'm not just by that, but also Jesus Christ died for my sin. And because I am only saved by grace. And from now on, I am a servant of Jesus Christ. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Bertie. Amen. That's exactly right. Amen. Next, Marvin Mwesije will come. Marvin is originally from Uganda, but works here in the U.S. as a nurse. He has been attending Hope for a couple of months, and the Lord has got a hold of his heart.
Greetings, everybody. I'm honored to speak in front of you, and I hope you're all well. My name is Marvin. I was born into a Christian family, and I've always been a Christian. I was baptized at the age of 6, and growing up, I didn't quite understand baptism, the meaning of baptism. I thought it was just a ritual of the church and a symbol of Christianity. I've always tried to live a Christian life, and for me, doing no harm to others is what mostly mattered and was enough to be a good Christian. However, I've always thought of ways of getting a closer relationship with God and serving him better. Looking back, losing my mom at, I think I was 5 and my dad at 14, I always thought, oh, I can always figure it out because I've been through a few countries, you know, always just got through life with the help of my uncle, of course, but I always thought, oh, I'm a champion, I can get through whatever. But not knowing that, you know, God is the one that was getting me through all this. So I always held myself high, but thinking back, it was God. And so I've always thought of ways of getting closer relationship with God and serving him better. So I joined a church, and along the way, they asked to baptize me to become a member of the church. I explained to them that I'd been baptized, and I didn't see the essence of getting baptized again. You know, I thought it'd be disrespectful to my parents, who I hold dearly, and I was very naive about baptism. A few months ago, my good friend Gertrude, who's seated over there, introduced me to this church, and she talked to me about getting baptized. I said, you know, Gertrude, you give me a hard time. I've been baptized, and what else do you want me to do? There's not much. And she kept bugging me and said, you know what, I'll give it a crack. So when I joined this church, I remember a time Pastor Todd, was a good timing to be honest. He talked about, you know, he had a small conference where we're all going to be taught about baptism and all that. So I joined it. And, you know, his teaching made really a lot of sense, you know. I like the fact that it gives you a connection to God and a fresh start. And that was really caught my eye. I was like, hey, there's no loss here, you know, getting closer to God, fresh start. If I die tomorrow, that's heaven guaranteed, you know. So I was amazed by that fact. So I decided to get baptized. And today, I chose today to get baptized to, you know, strengthen my relationship with the Lord God and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening. I hope you have a great day. Bye.
Next, Carla Hillerns will come. Carla has been married for 14 years to Carl, and she is a project manager and enjoys spending time in nature with her family and her friends, and she's been attending Hope for 7 or 8 months or so. Yeah.
I want to say that I feel like I'm in really good company here today. Both everyone who's here, my family, and those who spoke before me really touched my heart, and I don't know where I should hold the microphone. But a little bit about me. I had flickers of faith in Jesus as a child and as a teenager. But by my late teens, doubt started creeping in. Doubt I didn't really know what to do with. And I chose to follow the world and not God. At about 20 years old, I became agnostic and pretty much stopped trying to know God. I felt like, oh, I just need to make a decision. I was battling what to be, and that was the path I went down. But I didn't realize that I was giving up a lot making that decision. I was living for myself, but I didn't really have faith in myself, if that makes sense to anyone. I lived that way for years, for decades, actually. And I think I always, whether I was conscious of it or not, I had a feeling of emptiness. It was sometimes subtle, sometimes not so subtle, but it was there. But in the meantime, my mother and my brother had been praying that I would open up my heart to Jesus. Then a couple years ago, I reconnected by text message with a friend I had in college. She lives in Tennessee now. And at that time, or when we knew each other in college, she was not a Christian. I mean, she might have gone to church, but Jesus was not a real part of her life. And as we exchanged text messages and caught up on our lives, she told me that she found inner peace when she accepted Jesus as her Savior. She said it changed her life forever. And I wanted to have that kind of faith, but I just didn't think I had it in me. I thought, oh, she can do it. I don't see it happening for me. But I thought, okay, I'm going to try. So she got me listening to Bible teaching podcasts, and we've been exchanging text messages about those podcasts, those segments, pretty much every weekday for about 2 years now. And I'm actually looking at people now. It feels good. So over time, I began praying and reading the Bible regularly. I mean, at first not so regularly, but now it's becoming a part of my life. And earlier this year, I did an internet search for a Jesus-centered, Bible-based church. I don't know why people are laughing at that. I mean, but that was really important to me. I knew what I was looking for. And I found Hope, Hope Christian Church. And little by little, my faith in Christ has grown. And I have this sentence in here: He died for our sins, for my sins. Getting to know Him again has shifted my perspective. My relationship with Christ is helping me to be a better wife, better sister, a better daughter, a better person. And putting my trust in Him makes sense to me now. And my voice isn't normally this high pitched. I don't know how to bring it back down. But if I have doubts or fears, I know now that I can turn to God. I don't have to turn away. I don't have to turn to the world. I don't have to be ashamed. I just need to look up. So today, I am ready to publicly profess Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Thank you. And I agree to serve him rather than myself. And from Psalm 25, a psalm of David, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day.
Thank you, Carla. Excellent. Thank you for sharing. Al Clark will come now. Al lives around a corner in Woburn, is a plumber, a lover of books, a new lover of Jesus, and he found his way to Hope about a year ago.
Good morning. Nervous. I stand before all you today a sinner, a liar, a manipulator, an angry and often ungrateful man. The Lord has come into my life and given me hope that I too can change by the gift of his grace through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. After the suicide of my brother, the sudden deaths of both parents, with whom I had many unresolved issues, and finally the death of my oldest brother and best friend, my life was torn apart and my soul seemed ripped from my body. I turned to drugs and alcohol, and rage and false pride ruled my life for many years. But when I was sick and tired of my behaviors, I fell on my knees and I pleaded with God for help, because I realized that of my own will, I could not change. Shortly thereafter, I had an overwhelming urge to get a Bible. So I got one, I began reading from the beginning, read through, I began to learn about the prophecies, and after many, oh my God, the Bible is true moments, I began to get the urge to attend church, and so I did. I struggle with attendance, for sure. But I pray that God will continue to strengthen my spirit and give this coward the courage to be at peace in a room full of relative strangers. Things are not perfect. I struggle daily to being obedient to the Lord, but I pray and pray. I have faith that peace will come so long as I put my trust in God. To again change the things in me, I don't have the strength or wisdom to change alone. I look around the world now through the lens of the Bible, and I'm here to declare today which side I am on. I love Jesus for all he has done for me, and I today am here to give my oath through baptism. God bless you all, and thank you.
Whammy. Thanks, Al. Won't you... Just stay right here. Hey, Al, just stay up here, because I'm going to invite all of you to come back up who just shared. And I'm going to, as they come, did you hear something about the difference between knowing about Jesus and actually knowing him personally? There's a distinction between knowing facts about Jesus and resting your faith in him. The confidence of your soul. And that's exactly what all of these folks have done at various points in their lives, but they're publicly now professing faith in Jesus and looking to proclaim to the watching world, both earthly and spiritually, that they belong to Jesus. And that declaration, we like to note in a promise of vows. And so I am going to ask you, you know the vows that I'm about to read, and I would invite you to say, I do, after each one of them. Do you admit that you are a sinner in need of salvation? Do you freely and willingly surrender your life, taking Jesus to be the one and only Lord and Savior of your life? Do you cheerfully accept Christ's gracious gift and his offer of complete forgiveness of all your sin? Do you renounce all evil and Satan, and forsaking him and all other idols, do you promise to worship God the Father through Christ the Son from this day forward? You promise to honor and obey Jesus and to love and to cherish him. Do you promise to be faithful to him alone through all of the seasons of life, whether they be feasting or famine, through sickness or health, poverty or wealth, as long as you shall live? And do you gladly receive his Holy Spirit as a seal of his love for you and his promise to provide all necessary future provision concerning life and godliness? Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you for the love that you have poured out through the giving of your Spirit to unworthy people, and yet you wrap us up in fatherly arms and welcome us when we were enemies. Jesus, you died for us, and you have adopted us into your family as children whom you love. And these eight represent those children whom you love and you died for and secured the salvation, eternal salvation, and now are giving a sign, an outward expression of receiving of your Holy Spirit, who is a seal of your love, an unbreakable seal, until we all finally arrive in heaven completely sanctified. Give them grace along the way. Give us as a church the ability to come alongside each one of them. And Lord Jesus, this is what you've done for each one of us. Without you, we could do nothing. And so, Lord Jesus, let us as a church walk in your love, and let each one of these people walk in your unfailing love as we grow in Christ's likeness day by day. It is in Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Would you stand and let's sing?